The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. You do it live back inside the Beltway after flying into that weather pattern yesterday that was so dire in the Northeast. It's just been a long plane flight for me. But for you, wow, you folks have really taken it on the chin. And our thoughts and prayers with the people in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Connecticut, who have been smashed up so badly. 45 Americans dead in flood-related accidents, sudden flash floods in basements and in subways and across terrain where it's never actually flooded before. Fairly widespread devastation. We'll keep an eye on that the rest of the day. The headline remains that it has been for weeks that this is from the Wall Street Journal. Tens of thousands in Afghanistan are trapped as neighbors close borders. Desperate Afghans are trying bribes, people smugglers to escape Taliban rule. We have no firm number, none, on how many Americans are there. We have heard between 100 and 200. That did not count green card holders. I'm not even sure it's a real number. Jen Psaki gets completely defensive when she's asked about this. White House spokesman Jen Psaki yesterday on the podium in the White House, cut number three.
A Taliban spokesman told an Australian news network that the 41 Australians who died in the war in Afghanistan died in vain. During this time, the Australian government found out about the withdrawal date change through media reporting. We weren't included on the list from Secretary of State Antony Blinken of countries called on the final day, August 31. Does the Taliban have a point?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
We have sacrificed a lot for this alliance, and including the lives of 41 Australians, and we've been left seemingly out of the loop during this withdrawal process. There hasn't been high-level communication with the Australian government during this time.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that we have not engaged with the Australian government. We have worked with our partners around the world to evacuate individuals from a range of countries around the world who need evacuation.
That's enough. Instead of answering her question, she goes on an extended tirade about how we've done a nice job by our allies, when our allies, in fact, are telling her, why do we not know where there are hundreds of people left behind? In fact, every American ought to be asking, why do we not know the minimum number of people you know are trying to get out? Now, it's not safe to report details. There are stories of various groups of people who are stranded. I don't think it's safe to tell people about specifics. But we ought to know, how many Americans are we talking about? How many Australians? How many English? How many French? How many green card holders? How many of those who assisted us throughout the 20-year war did we leave behind? Joe Biden left behind. Instead, Joe Biden is losing it on Zoom calls with rabbis. He was on a Zoom call yesterday with Jewish leaders and kind of lose it. Cut number four.
And so I asked if that psalm, that hymn in the Catholic Church, and it says, may he lift you up on eagle's wings and bear you on the breath of dawn and let the light shine upon you, etc., and hold you in the palm of his hand. And they played, and my mind's going blank now. What's the song that is played where everybody is on the chair, I can't remember it anyway. And that's the song that was played. So, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on here. I just had one little favor, you know, just that they played on Eagle's Wings. But look, I'm taking too much of your time, but I really, honest to God, believe.
I don't mean to embarrass the president as much as it is to inform you that the president is infirm. And this is why we are worried about Americans. Well, he invents things as well. I should point out in the Tree of Life massacre that occurred in Pittsburgh, a searing event that really, really crushed Americans, but especially Jewish Americans. It's there in Joe Biden's head somewhere. Cut number five.
It was, I remember spending time at the, going to the Tree of Life synagogue.
He did not go to the Tree of Life synagogue. That was reported last night repeatedly the folks around the Tree of Life Synagogue have no, absolutely zero remembrance of President Biden. He would have been a private citizen. Not there. Not there. Meanwhile, we have embarrassment after embarrassment. The headline, tens of thousands in Afghanistan are trapped as neighbors close borders because, of course, Pakistan, Iran, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, they do not want more refugees. That's from the Wall Street Journal. From NBC News, Biden administration vows to help 500 Afghan journalists with U.S.-funded media outlets stranded in Kabul. We left behind many people that we paid to say bad things about the Taliban for 20 years. They repeatedly were promised over the last 3 weeks we would get them out. They were not. The Brits are talking to their newspapers. We think we are going to die. Brits stranded in Afghanistan plead for help. Desperate families stuck in Afghanistan after U.K. troops withdraw say we are running out of money and we feel we are in hell. That is from The Independent in Great Britain this morning. You can imagine that's mirrored among the Americans who are also trapped there. Those left in Afghanistan complain of U.S. broken promises, according to Kathy Gibson of AP. Now, even in very mundane things, like my Uber driver of 3 days ago from downtown, my Washington Post column will come out today about Afghan refugees. For Afghans abroad, sending money home is harder than ever. Disruption in Afghanistan, moving money apparatus constrained key source of income for ordinary Afghanistans. That means Afghanistan, Afghans. We do not have a way for the diaspora of Afghans around the world, including the 160,000 or so Afghans in America, Afghans, American, many of them citizens, most of them green card holders, some of them SIV holders. They can't get money back to their families. It's desperate. The restoration of Kabul's airport has begun, but it's not open. It's not quite certain whether Qatar or Turkey is going to cooperate with this. The Taliban have pledged one thing, not to take care of our people, not to get anybody out. They have pledged to restore to operational order all U.S. military equipment left behind. Now, we have an account from the Pentagon that said we disabled everything, but we saw Black Hawks flying yesterday under Taliban control. The anti-Taliban resistance, according to the Washington Post this morning, a number of fighters are relying on grit, history, and geography to hang on to a sliver of Afghanistan. It's the one valley where everyone is rushing to, Panjshir, P-A-N-J-S-H-I-R. I would not hold out a lot of hope for young Massoud, whose father was the heart of the Northern Alliance 20 years ago, was assassinated the day before 9/11. Then finally, a couple of other things that are in the news. The Supreme Court's order on the Texas abortion ban. Look, it did not overturn Roe v. Wade. I want Roe v. Wade to be overturned. I do. I think it should be overturned, along with Casey. I do not know what the next test will be. Something will replace it. I don't think this did that. I don't believe that it is the line in the sand that everyone says it is, though I think that line in the sand is coming. But really, sometimes it's just what the court says, a weird law that ought to go through the appellate process. And the hysteria one sees on TV is because they're trying to gin up a fifth vote and a fourth vote to stop the repeal of Roe v. Wade, which I think is inevitable when the Dobbs case is heard later in the year. Dobbs is the case which you all got to be watching. Dobbs is going to be the case in which this is decided. Can I go back for a moment, though, to Mike Pompeo on Fox News with Hannity last night talking about where we are in Afghanistan? Remember, we do not know the minimum number of Americans held there. All we are doing is one thing. Pompeo on Fox, cut number 15.
Sean, we had leverage. Leverage was our soldiers on the ground. It was places like Bagram Air Force Base. It was messages from the administration that made clear it would impose costs on them and the capability to actually deliver that, a demonstrated capability. That was leverage. I'm very concerned. I don't see that we have any leverage. I think that's actually, when you hear the spokesperson or the president talk about leverage, I think that's code words for money, American money, going to these butchers, these men who are doing these horrific things today in Afghanistan. I think the president is signaling to the world he's willing to buy these Americans back when it didn't have to be the case. We didn't pay a dime to get these hostages back during our time. When we had Americans held, we got them out through American diplomacy and American power. I think this administration is headed exactly the opposite direction. They've given up 100% of the leverage that we had.
Not only have they given up the leverage, we don't know how many we're talking about. Keep asking. Call the Congress. Call your representative and your senator. How many American citizens? How many American green card holders? How many of our allies from NATO? How many of our allies on the ground in Afghanistan are there? It's not enough to say, well, we got between 100 and 200. No, really. How many do we have? We want to keep a metric of how many get out. Hopefully they all will. But they're trying to downplay it so that the American people give up and pay attention to something else. They're actually celebrating losing an attempt to firm up Roe v. Wade. It wasn't a repeal of Roe v. Wade just because it turned the news away from their disaster. Not here. Not with me. Say a prayer for the Americans left behind in Afghanistan. And we'll do that every day till they're back right here on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I'm so glad you're with me on a Friday after a long, terrible week. Actually, after a long, terrible couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I thought this Friday we're going to go back to a little bit of normalcy, bring back not only Sonny Bunch right now with the movies ahead for the weekend, but also in the next segment, Doug Lesmeres of the College Football Playoff podcast, so we can do sports and movies and just feel a little bit normal. Good morning, Sonny Bunch. How are you?
Sports and movies.
Sports
better,
and movies.
Better than everything else happening.
Well, you know, I figured it's Friday. People do need a little bit of break from the last month. Maybe the worst August that I can remember.
Yeah, it's not been a great one. Not been a great one at all. So the movies, if you want to go to the movies, there is a big movie back in movie theaters. That's the savior of all movies forever, for now and forevermore. There's a big Marvel movie in theaters.
Uh-oh, we're waiting for a big Marvel movie. We need something to see.
Yeah, so Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is the big Marvel movie that is in theaters now. And, you know, Shang-Chi is not a huge part of the Marvel universe, right? He's kind of a minor character, but at the same time,
I've never heard of him.
Marvel. He's been around for a long time. Shang-Chi debuted in the 70s as part
of that explains
big
it. I'm a 60s kid.
Bruce Lee.
Okay, I'm a 60s.
He may have even been in the late 60s, but yeah, he's been around for a while. But Shang-Chi is he's a minor Marvel character, but like Ant-Man. You know, and like the Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Marvel has kind of the magic touch. They can take even minor characters and make something entertaining and watchable out of them. And sure enough, they've done that here. They've done that here. I saw it with a paying crowd last night in theaters. Everyone was very entertained. Everyone was
it very crowded?
You know, it's this. I went to a Thursday 9 p.m. showing, so it was about as crowded as a Thursday 9 p.m. showing is. These tend not to be super packed, but it was, you know, the theater I went to was at Angelica. The Draft House near me, the Alamo Draft House near me, all the showings were sold out.
Alamo Draft House has reopened.
Alamo Draft House near me has reopened, yes, and it is very busy on the weekends. So everyone's going back to the Draft House. The IMAX had basically sold out. The theater I was in was probably maybe half full to somewhere between 40 and 50% full, something like that, which is about right for a Thursday 9 p.m. showing. But all right, so Shang-Chi stars Simu Liu as the titular Shang-Chi. He is the scion of a essentially a crime family. His father is Xu Wenwu. He is the head of the Ten Rings crime family. But he has left that life. He doesn't want any part of it. He wants to, you know, kind of live his own life, be his own person. And he's out in San Francisco being a car valet. You know, he's not really living up to his potential. And then his father sends assassins to come get him and bring him back and into the fold so they can head to a mythical village to help rescue his mother, who has been captured. Supposedly, this is not what has necessarily actually happened, but it's all part of the mystery. I don't want to spoil it. The big point here is that it's a big action movie. It's a big action, sci-fi, fantasy type movie with big special effects and big action set pieces. There's a couple of great ones in this one. There's a big fight on a bus. I don't know. It's not necessarily my favorite bus fight of the year. If you've seen Nobody has a great.
Oh yeah, that was a heck of a bus fight.
But this is a Marvel bus fight, so it's much bigger and it's longer and it's, you know, there's a lot of green screen work and that sort of thing. If you're into that sort of thing, this is very well done. Big fight off the side of a building. If you like heights, if you don't like heights, you gotta watch out for that one. It's gonna be a tricky one to watch. But look, I mean, here is the bottom line. This is the sort of movie that people have been waiting for to see if folks are going to go back to the box office. It is a high name brand movie just because of Marvel, not even because of Shang-Chi, right? It's got the Marvel logo in front of it. And the Marvel logo is what has been getting people back to theaters for the last, 10 years. They really haven't had a huge flop. Even Black Widow did very well, and that was available on home video as well.
Is the Ten Rings going to be streaming on Disney at the same time?
It is not. So this is the thing. It's not on Premier Access. You cannot pay more money to watch it at home. If you want to watch this movie, if you want to see the next chapter in the Marvel saga, if you want to get all of the little inside jokes and all of the, you know, perpetuation of the Marvel universe, other characters from other movies show up in this one, you know. So if you want to know what's going on, you got to go see it in theaters.
Do they have the trailer at the end where you have to wait for all the credits? Do they do that little trick?
There are two after credit scenes. There's a mid credit scene, which is an important one for the, you know, again, for the continuation of the Marvel universe. We see some characters from the other movies. And then there's one all the way at the end, which is not necessarily worth sticking around for. You're fine looking it up after the fact, I think, if you don't want to sit through the 10 minutes of people who worked in a sci-fi, you know, special effects studio in Toronto somewhere. If you don't want to have to watch all that, you're fine skipping it and just reading about it after the fact. Look, here's the bottom line. I like Shang-Chi. It was good. It's not the best Marvel movie I've ever seen, but it's entertaining enough, and it's a big, fun action movie that you are better off seeing, I think, on a big screen than at home.
Especially when you're looking for escapism after 3 weeks of the worst kind of reality possible.
Yeah, if you need some escapism, that's a good way to go. If you don't want to go back to the movie theaters, if you're still worried about movie theaters, there's some options at home. This week there's a documentary on Netflix called Bob Ross: Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed. You know Bob Ross, right?
No, I do not.
He's the happy little trees painter, the guy with the big afro and the like kind of open shirt. He does the landscapes. He paints a landscape.
Not me. Nope.
On PBS. You don't know that.
Way over my head.
Oh boy, you're missing out, Hugh.
I don't watch much TV. Even though I used to work for PBS, I don't watch much PBS.
Well, Bob Ross is a very he was a very famous American painter because he was on PBS and he had this like faintly ridiculous show where he would just paint a landscape in like 30 minutes, and the whole time he'd be talking, be like, yeah, now we're gonna put a happy little tree here. We made a little accident here, but that's okay. Mistake's just a happy accident. That sort of thing. He is very calming, very soothing. It was like Zen in the art of painting, almost. He became this kind of big cultural figure. Lots of people went to classes to be taught how to paint landscapes in 30 minutes by Bob Ross. He had a whole line of paints and, you know, easels and canvases and whatever that were branded as Bob Ross, became kind of a big industry. He died of cancer in the mid-90s, so he hasn't been on TV in 25 years now, but he was kind of a big deal. And this documentary is interesting when it is about Bob Ross and like kind of his rise, but it's a very weird thing. It is like almost a parody of a true crime documentary. You know how Netflix has all the true crime documentaries?
Yeah.
That are like, here's a, you know, what terrible thing has happened to these people. The kind of apotheosis of this is Tiger King. That's the best one of these, but they do it for everything. They do all sorts of these true crime documentaries. And I thought it was, I almost thought it was making fun of that format at first, because you took like the nicest guy in the world, Bob Ross, the like calmest, soothingest, most interesting, or well, not interesting, actually least interesting. Like the fact that this guy is getting a true crime style documentary at all is like weird. And then you put it in this format. I thought it was a joke. I really did. I thought it was a joke, and it's not. It's very straightforward. Like here's the betrayal and greed of Bob Ross.
So how many episodes is this? I mean, you're not selling this hard to me, Sonny.
It's only one episode. It's 90 minutes. It's basically a TV movie. It's basically a TV documentary.
And you're saying watch this, and where is it?
I'm saying not watch this. I'm saying don't watch this, because it's terrible. It's a terrible documentary. It's boring. I mean, it's 90 minutes. It feels like it's 10 hours long. It's super boring. I don't understand why it exists, is my point.
Well, then it'll get crushed by college football this weekend. I'm glad to hear it's terrible.
I don't want to get hit by a failure to warn is what's happening here.
Okay. I'm not going to watch it. But, Sonny, I got to ask you one more quick question before you run out of time. Is there anything other than the Marvel movie to watch this weekend? Because some people won't go to comic book movies.
No. Everybody got out of the way of the Marvel.
Ten Rings.
Marvel. So the Marvel, it's funny that you mentioned that. When I was looking at what showtime I wanted to go to, usually for a Thursday night show, I have two options. I have a 7 o'clock show or a 10 o'clock show. That's it. Those are the only real options for me. When I was looking at one of the theaters for Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, there was a 7 o'clock option, a 7:30, an 8, an 8:15, an 8:30, an 8:45, a 9:30, a 10.
Yep.
I was like, it's in everything.
It's one movie for this weekend, but it's a good, solid one. Sonny Bunch, is that going to be reviewed in Across the Movie Aisle, your podcast, this weekend?
We will talk about it on Tuesday. That episode should go up either Tuesday or Wednesday, because Monday is a holiday.
Oh, that's right. So. Well, maybe Labor Day people will go to Ten Rings. We will check the box office, though, because that will tell us a lot about America. Sonny Bunch, thank you. Follow him on Twitter at Sonny Bunch's podcast is Across the Movie Aisle. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that 3-week starter pack, $19.95. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Look, Friday is upon us, and we have to do something to get us out of a terrible, terrible mood, and that something is college football. And I'm beginning a new segment today with Doug Lesmerise, who is the sports writer for the Cleveland.com Buckeyes beat and Browns beat, and also the host of a wonderful new podcast called the College Football Playoff Podcast that is one of my diversions. Doug, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Thank you for joining me.
Hugh, thanks so much for the invite.
Now, you're very alive on the Orange and Brown podcast, and you're very animated on the Buckeye Talk podcast and on the College Football Playoff Show podcast. So be animated, Doug, all right? That's what I like about you, is that you're animated. Tell us about the College Football Playoff Show.
I love talking about winners, Hugh. So the thing that we want to do on the playoff show is a good underdog story is wonderful. I like the teams from nowhere. But frankly, I'm mostly interested in who's going to win the thing. So every week, we've been doing it since July, we talk about who's going to win the national title and who deserves to be in that mix. So, like, no offense to underdogs, but, like, our show is not the show for you. We're just trying to figure out the best of the best. And I do scream. I occasionally do voices. And I can't help myself. I apologize.
And no, I love that. And I love your co-host, who's rather, he's like the Jimmy Smothers of the Tom and Jim Smothers show. And so you're Tommy, and that's fine. But there's a method to your madness. Years before we moved to the 12 football team format, you're doing it already, which is a great early runway entrance.
No, it is. It's good for the sport because we've had 7 years now of a four-team college football playoff, and four programs have taken up 20 of the 28 spots: Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. So we are eventually, college football's fighting right now. Everybody's fighting. It's very territorial. We're eventually going to get to a 12-team playoff where you're going to open up opportunity for a lot of other people, because I kind of appreciate the blue bloods doing it year after year, but a lot of people are sick of them. So we are trying to think about that now and think about the top 10 or 12 teams every week, and eventually, maybe as early as 2023, but I think at least by 2026 we'll be in a world where we'll actually have 12 teams in the playoffs instead of just four.
Now, Doug, you always refer to yourself as the old guy on the podcast. I'm actually the old guy on the radio, so I love listening to podcasts. It's a new format, and you're exemplary at this, but what possessed you to try and dive into a podcast-rich environment with a new podcast on college football? I think I know the hook. I think it's going to work. We've got the graphic up at HughHewitt.com right now. Where did this idea come from?
My ego.
Ah, good.
Am I allowed to say that? Is that
yes, absolutely. Yes.
I just want more people to listen to what I have to say. We've had a great time. We've been doing our Buckeye Talk podcast about specifically Ohio State football for 7 years, and we've had a really good time. And I think we've kind of found a pretty good mix of like being weird and joking around and talking football. As you said, I'm often on our Orange and Brown Talk podcast about the Cleveland Browns. But I don't know that people had looked at college football and talked playoff year long, right? The rankings for the playoff don't come out until November. And we're talking about the playoff in July. So we're just kind of like keeping it real. You know, we're going to talk about what matters in the end. We're going to do it year round, basically. So I wanted to take a shot with that format and see if I could foist myself onto the rest of the college football world.
One compliment, one suggestion. I'm an Ohio State fan, so I only know about Ohio State with a little bit of Notre Dame thrown in and a lot of hatred for USC and Michigan. So I'm really a four-team person. I hate Alabama, but they're over the horizon hatred. They only come up once a year, and not even once a year. Sometimes you fill in the blanks for those of us who don't know anything about the other teams, like the Texas A&M special that you did, and like the Iowa State special and the best quarterback in the nation. How much are you going to try and take into consideration that there are people out there who are one club, one school fans?
Yeah, I think that we can really serve those people, because if I'm a fan of one school and I think my team is great, I still care about context.
Yes.
So you can listen to your local team podcast. You can read your great local team websites. But we're going to give you context of like, okay, well, your team is good, but how do they compare to everybody else that matters? So I think we are a great complement to the one school kind of fan. Because if you love Georgia and only Georgia, okay, Georgia's good, you know that, but what does that mean? How good are they compared to Oklahoma or Oregon or Notre Dame or Ohio State? That's what we want to give the one team fan every week, because it's a lot. That's the world is context, Hugh. We all can be in our little silos at times, but you've got to get out and get some context so you really know where you stand. And I think we're a service to the one team fan in the way we're trying to do that.
I agree. And now this is the first week we've done this. We're going to do it every week so that the College Football Friday show, segment of the Hugh Hewitt Show, will be talking about the College Football Playoff Show on iTunes, on Spotify, at Cleveland.com. But you need subscribers, Doug. I am a shameless shill for good products. You're not paying me to say this. I think it's worth your ridiculously low amount of money you are charging for this. How's the response been?
It's been pretty good. It's an interesting thing that we're doing where you get a tech subscription. It's $1 a month. And then you get to vote for when we are kicking teams out of our discussion or adding teams into our discussion on the show. Our my partner, Shahan, he gets a vote. I get a vote. And our tech subscribers get a vote. You can ask questions when we do our Q&A episode. It all comes from tech subscribers. Again, it's $1 a month. It shows up like a text from your friend. And if you want to subscribe to that, send a text to 817-442-6789.
Give the number one more time, Doug.
817-442-6789. 14-day free trial, $1 a month after that.
Talk to you next week, Doug. Thank you very much. The College Football Playoff Show. It's a great diversion. Come back next hour, America.
The lost secret notebook of Nikola Tesla with his most dangerous formulas could fall into the hands of evolutionary elite scientists.
His most amazing discoveries thought to be written in a lost journal. In the right hands, it could revolutionize the 21st century.
They want to start a new world order where elites rule and everyday people are not created equal.
Look out!
Now the elites plan to set off an earthquake under LA to take out world leaders.
there's an old brown battered notebook in my office at work. You have to find it, take it, and keep it hidden at all costs.
Let's just say there are a lot of enemies of the state interested in his research.
It's up to regular people to stop them. A grad student, a campus cop, a deaf army vet, and a group of live-action role players.
A vertical quake this size could collapse half of Dontop.
Catch Final Frequency, playing exclusively on SalemNow.com or download the mobile app. For more information, visit FinalFrequencyFilm.com.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Congressman Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, sir.
There's a cover-up underway, Congressman, at the State Department, the Pentagon, and the White House on the minimum number of American citizens and LPRs, legal permanent residents, green card holders, abandoned by Joe Biden in Afghanistan. Can you give me minimum numbers of the American citizens abandoned there and the American LPRs abandoned there?
Well, I think minimum we're talking a couple hundred, but because of the administration's obfuscation, we don't have a precise number, which is absolutely incredible to me. It's why last week I went to the House floor with a bill that would have demanded those numbers from the administration. It was blocked by even the Democrats who behind closed doors had expressed their concern, had begged President Biden to abandon the August 31st surrender date until we had gotten all of our people out of the country. And so it's why this week the veterans in the House went back to D.C., even though we're not in session, and went to the House floor where we were joined by zero Democrats in order to do a moment of silence for the 13 servicemen that we lost, but then also to attempt to introduce a revised version of my bill, which would have not only demanded those numbers from the administration, would have expressed the sense of Congress that we don't recognize the Taliban as a government, would also have prevented us from providing any relief to the Taliban, ransom payments to the Taliban. It would have also required a report from the administration on the cost and type and capability of the equipment that we left behind that the Taliban now has in their hands. But, of course, that bill, that attempt to get basic transparency, to protect our people, to ensure that we leave no one behind, was gaveled down by the Democrats. And so we weren't even able to do the minimum necessary, the minimum oversight necessary from the House of Representatives on this incredibly important issue. And the administration is out there telling us, well, don't worry, the mission hasn't ended. We can still get our people out because we have leverage. What a joke here. We don't have leverage. Their entire theory of the case is that we have leverage because the Taliban want recognition, they want humanitarian assistance, but the Chinese are going to provide them with whatever cash they need. And leverage comes from victory on the ground. And they have it. We don't, because we surrender to them. And now they have the leverage that comes from hundreds of Americans potentially being taken hostage by the Taliban and sold to Al-Qaeda or sold to some other country. We have no leverage, and the administration is deluding itself and lying to the American people to suggest that we do. This is an absolute fiasco, and I fear the worst is yet to come.
I agree with you, Congressman, and I, in fact, spent Wednesday with Leader McCarthy at the Nixon Library talking about your bill and the effort that was made to draw attention to this. But I want to really focus in like a laser on the Chernobyl-style cover-up of the national security Chernobyl, that is, the collapse in Afghanistan, our retreat and defeat there. The State Department says low hundreds of American citizens. When pushed by the AP's Matt Lee, finally, Ned Price said maybe 6,000 LPRs. I remind everyone who just tuned in, an LPR is a legal permanent resident. Like Mr. Khashoggi, who was murdered in the Saudi Arabian embassy in Turkey and about whom we rightly were outraged, LPRs not only have a right to be here, they often have American citizen family members. They are, for all intents and purposes, just like you and me. And the State Department, the Pentagon, the White House will not give us a minimum number. We've got a minimum number of at least 100 American citizens. But do you, Congressman, have a minimum number of LPRs, and are you treating LPRs as they ought to be treated, the equivalent of American citizens in most cases?
Well, I am treating them that way. So the initial estimates we had at the start of this was anywhere between 10,000 to 15,000 Americans in Afghanistan, and the numbers that they're bragging about getting out, what does that do, just south of 6,000? So you do the math on that, and clearly the number is not in the hundreds, it's in the thousands, if we're counting LPRs as we should. So we have left thousands of our people behind enemy lines. And the White House, the State Department, and even DOD is looking for creative ways to spin these numbers. They're talking about, we got, the president went out and said, we got 90% of our people out. Well, this isn't like a middle school math exam, right? You're not grading on a curve, or this is the commander in chief test is pass fail. If you leave our people behind, you fail that test. And right now, not only have they failed the test, they're trying to spin it as a victory. And in so doing, they're lying to the American people. I've never seen
that. And I think, Mike Gallagher, the reason they're doing that is they do not want a baseline established of the minimum number of citizens and LPRs, because one thing that everyone agrees on, whatever the Trump plan was, whatever the Doha Agreement stipulated, every American was coming out under President Trump. Every LPR was going to come out under President Trump. So they're going to go Chernobyl-style cover-up on those two numbers as long as we allow them to. And I think every day in every way we ought to focus in on that, because they're lying to us. And they're lying, I gather, to Congress as well.
They're lying to us. I don't know if you've seen the HBO miniseries Chernobyl, but it's fantastic. I recommend it. But the lead scientist and the lead character in it has a line at the end where he says, every lie we tell incurs a debt to the truth. And that's certainly the case here. And the debt, I fear, is going to be paid in terms of the collapse of U.S. credibility on the world stage, but potentially in terms of lives that will be lost. These people are in severe danger of being taken hostage, severe danger of being killed. This is a very perilous situation. And for Kirby to go out there and say, well, the military mission has ended, and now this is the State Department mission. Well, how is the State Department going to get these people out? What is the plan for getting these people out? There is no plan. That was part of our legislation, was simply demanding a plan for getting our people out of Afghanistan. And I think this is the reason you're seeing a collapse in President Biden's approval rating, is that even Americans who are sympathetic to the idea that we need to get out of Afghanistan, and I disagree with that, but even those people that are sympathetic to the basic idea, they are revolted at the prospect of us leaving American citizens behind. This is simply something we don't do in the United States of America. And everybody around the world is watching this, and our enemies are laughing, and our allies are worried about the credibility of American commitments. The White House, Hugh, I really think what explained this is cynically they believe that this is a news cycle that they can manage. This is something that they think they can tweet their way out of, or as long as we have Ron Klain out there retweeting friendly leftist journalists, this will all go away and no one will care. But this is not going away.
That's why Jen Psaki insulted the Catholic journalist yesterday, because she needs to pick a fight. And that is actually a pretty transparent strategy, that everywhere they go, they're trying to pick a fight and create a new news story because of those three numbers: American citizens abandoned by Joe Biden, LPRs abandoned by Joe Biden, and then SIV eligible Afghans. There's also NATO allies, but we'll find out from our NATO allies, like the Australian journalist asked yesterday. We will get those numbers because they actually are telling the truth. Do you have any estimate of SIV eligible Afghans? Those are the people who walked alongside our troops, who worked at our contractor bases, who are dead men and women walking when the Taliban go on their nighttime raids. Any idea of the minimum number of SIV eligibles that Joe Biden abandoned, Mike Gallagher?
Well, at the start of this process, my understanding was the SIV eligible population was upwards of 50,000 people.
I didn't hear that. How many thousand? Spell it out.
50,000 people.
50.
That were potentially SIV eligible. But when I went to Fort McCoy last week, what was interesting is they had about 3,000 Afghans there. This is a military base in Wisconsin where we're taking in some of the people that we've evacuated. They hadn't encountered a single SIV holder. Now, there were some people that were potentially SIV eligible, or that were in a stage, one stage of the 14-stage SIV process. but they had no plan for, well, how do we expedite that process? How are we going to, where are we going to put people as they make their way through the SIV process? And so I fear that the number of SIV eligible or partially SIV completed Afghans that we left behind is in the tens of thousands. Now, we'll
that's what I think. Congressman, I also had from Leader McCarthy a commitment to the Afghan refugees in our care. Everyone will be vetted. It's not actually that hard to vet Afghans because they ought to know Americans with whom they worked or for whom they worked. They and the SIV process, I had an Uber driver this week who was an Afghan 29-year-old who came here after working 2009 to 2018 as an interpreter and as a floor company employee. It's pretty easy relative to the southern border people to vet Afghans. Do you agree with Leader McCarthy on our rock-solid commitment to Afghan refugees who are vetted?
Well, certainly, if you're SIV eligible, I think we have a duty for those who fought with us, who worked with us, who risked their lives. I have a good friend in the Marine Corps who fought tooth and nail to get his interpreter here, and through the SIV process, he's been here for over a decade. He lives with their family, and now there's a TV show made about their relationship called United States of Al. It's an incredible story. And so, absolutely, I think we need a plan to make sure we don't compromise on the rigorous vetting procedures, but make sure that we're doing right by those SIV eligible Afghans. We passed some amendments 2 days ago in the NDAA markup process that would increase oversight on some of these processes. We have reporting requirements now on what the plan is for getting Americans out, some reporting requirements on, you know, how you actually conduct over the horizon counterterrorism, given that we're not there, and as well as an assessment of why we decided to leave Bagram Air Force Base. But obviously the bigger SIV issue was not in the jurisdiction of the Armed Services Committee. So we still need a better plan for where are we housing these people as they go through the process, and how do we shift more resources to do that rigorous vetting while also fulfilling our commitments to those who fought with us.
Okay, Congressman, last question. With the Chernobyl-style cover-up underway, it's going to take a lot of discipline to keep asking a question that everybody inside the Beltway, because they're allied with Joe Biden, doesn't want asked. How many American citizens were abandoned? How many LV green card holders were abandoned? How many NATO allies were abandoned? How many SIV-eligible people were abandoned? We need to have that question asked again and again. Will you flag or fail in continuing to keep that front and center in America?
I will not fail, Hugh, and we have a great group of veterans in the House and Senate who feel that we have abandoned our allies and our people, and that's un-American, and so we cannot rest until we get not only those basic answers, but save these people. As I said on your show last week, it's probably too late to save face given the disaster, but it's not too late to save lives, and that is where our focus needs to be.
100% agree. And you're doing a great job on that, Congressman Mike Gallagher. Thank you for doing so. Keep asking those questions. Keep the pressure on. And I'm hoping journalists in America realize they've got to fight back against the Soviet-style Biden and press apparatchiks who are out there not answering questions that free people deserve to know. Thank you, Mike. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home, or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Hugh. Good morning. We plunge back into the poetic landscape today. After every scandal, committees are created. Witnesses are questioned and the evidence debated. Conclusions are determined, at least in part and theory, dependent on the answer to but one essential query. I'm going to ask that question, though I know that I'll regret it. What did Joe forget? And when did he forget it? His memory is faulty and at best quite unreliable. Thus, everything he says is plausibly deniable. Abandoning positions is what politicians do. He drops what he believed in, and he hopes that you will too. I think he spoke precisely, not befuddled or demented, when he said that this surrender was indeed unprecedented. We've never had a day like this, a week, a month, a year. It's quite a fitting capstone to his wonderful career. We know it's a disaster from this spot where we're all sitting, so Joe's legacy will have to wait till history's rewritten. A project by the New York Times predictably will find no evidence of suffering from those we left behind. That's the 2021 project by Tarzana Joe.
Short and to the point, Joe.
Yes.
Yeah, the 2021 project is great. We'll be posted at TarzanaJoe.com.
It will be indeed.
I think that's going to get a lot of traffic. TarzanaJoe.com, get your 2021 project for all your poetry needs. Write Joe at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. That's TarzanaJoe, all one word, at Reagan.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Hugh.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.